When Mary Lou Spartz was a senior at Juneau High School in 1948, she says she could hear the sound of construction at the federal jail a block away from her classroom.
We didn't talk about it, but you'd sit in class and you'd hear the pounding on that building and you couldn't help but notice.
She says she knew it was preparation for an upcoming execution. And now Spartz is 93 years old. She still recalls how her teachers and parents would avoid talking about the execution, leaving her to draw her own conclusions.
And all of a sudden, it kind of occurred to you that this was going to be taking the life of another person. I don't think we thought of it that way, but it kind of, there was something going on there that didn't seem right. Didn't seem right at all.
On a December morning in 1946, grocer Jim Ellen was found dead in his store on Willoughby Avenue with his throat cut. Austin Nelson was arrested the next day and charged with the murder. 4 months later, a jury convicted Nelson and sentenced him to death. His lawyers never filed an appeal. A second man would also be convicted for the murder 10 months later. At Nelson's trial, Eugene Lamour took the stand to offer an alibi. After Lamour's testimony, prosecutors charged him with perjury and put him in jail.
Lamour wasn't charged until he had the audacity to try and testify on behalf of Nelson at Nelson's trial.
That's Averill Lerman, a legal historian who's researched the two cases over the last 30 years. She's writing a book about these cases. She says the executions of Nelson and Lamour fit a broader pattern in Alaska's history of capital punishment. Nationally, the death penalty has been applied disproportionately based on race, poverty, and access to legal representation. Those factors, Lerman says, have more to do with whether a defendant gets the death sentence than the severity of the crime committed or the evidence. Her research showed the same patterns held true in Alaska. For over 50 years before the death penalty was abolished,
the only people who were executed in the territory of Alaska were people who were not white or who were viewed as not white by the dominant white population.
Lerman worked in criminal law for 20 years and as a post-conviction criminal defense lawyer. She examined cases after the defendant received a guilty verdict to see if the conviction had been obtained legally and justly. And in the postmortem of Nelson's and Lamour's cases, Lerman found a trial transcript that has stuck with her since.
It put a duty on me that I have not been able to shake. The duty to speak. The duty to correct the record.
She says the justice system failed Nelson and Lamour at nearly every turn.
There was extreme prosecutorial misconduct in both of these cases.
And, she says, serious error by the defense and by the judge. The prosecution built their case without any reliable forensic evidence, like blood, hair, or fingerprints, in either trial. And Lerman says that instead, the prosecution relied on testimony from people who were under pressure to tell a certain story.
Much of the prosecution's trial evidence in both of these trials was obtained by either taking advantage of witnesses who were in terribly vulnerable positions to ensure that they said what the prosecutor wanted them to say, or placing them in terribly vulnerable positions in order to secure that testimony.
The only physical evidence that tied Nelson to the crime was a check on the store counter with his name on it. After Nelson's trial, Lamour was kept in jail and in solitary confinement for months. Then, the day before Nelson was due to be executed, he told investigators that Lamour was with him during the crime. The investigators brought Nelson into Lamour's cell, and Nelson begged Lamour to help save his life. The next day, Lamour signed a typed confession. It said he went with Nelson to rob the store, and that Lamour was in a different room when Nelson killed Ellen. But at his trial in April 1948, Lamour testified that the confession he signed was false and that it had been made to try and save Nelson's life. He believed Nelson had been framed. Lerman says Lamour's confession doesn't line up with the evidence or even with the story the prosecution told during Nelson's trial about how the murder took place.
The cases show that the convictions were obtained by prominent men who were determined to get that result.
After a 3-day trial, a jury convicted Lamour of murder and sentenced him to death. A few weeks later, Nelson was hanged. Lamour's attorneys filed an appeal, but it was rejected. Lamour was hanged at the federal jail in April 1950. No one has been executed by the government in Alaska since. the territorial legislature voted to ban execution in 1957. The legislator who introduced the bill said capital punishment was applied disproportionately to people of color, and that ban has held to today. Lerman says that often when horrible crimes are committed, society wants to see someone punished, but that's not the same as justice.
Vengeance and justice are never going to be found in the same bed.
And, she says, when the justice system looks for someone to blame, the most vulnerable people will often take the fall. Nationally, nearly 200 people have been exonerated from death row in the last 50 years, many by DNA evidence.
You cannot avoid the fact that people are still getting wrongly convicted all the time in our courts.
She's close to completing her book about Nelson and Lemoore. She says it details the very human flaws of the justice system and the risks of giving it the power to kill. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.